You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I am your host. Right now, I want you to picture this. It's me sitting in my chair, which the chair that I'm sitting in is called the gray chair, even though it's a yellow chair that used to have a gray slipcover on it. But then the slipcover fell apart and we got a new one that's green. But then the green one, it's felt and it feels kind of like not just special occasion, but maybe holiday. I don't know. You just don't really want to sit in a dark green felt chair in the summer in South Carolina. So the slipcover gets put up in the summertime and then it gets put back on in the winter. So despite the chair being called the gray chair, it's the green chair right now. I'm sitting by a crackling fire. You might just hear it crackle. You're welcome. And I've poured myself a whiskey, which is something I don't do really much anymore at all. But in the wintertime, and I'm going to call this winter. I don't care if it's fall. Is it still fall? I think November 21st is technically the solstice. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 100%. I'm like 98% sure. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm fine not drinking in the summer just because it's... being hungover when you're hot is devastating. And every time I drink now, I get hungover. But being hungover in the winter, it's kind of cozy. It's kind of nice. Because winter itself is sort of feels like a hangover in a way. It's like you're sort of slow and foggy and you're just a little bit vulnerable. You need to be cuddled, maybe, at least for me. I woke up this morning, it's like sludge outside. It's like a slush bucket and it's gross and it's cold. And I don't care where you live. When it really does finally set in that like, oh, the fun fall like tingle in the air is over. The realization that winter is here, or at least nearing, is, it just makes me want to have a drink. So I'm having a drink. I poured the last of Jeremy's whiskey. He doesn't know this. But the good news is, it's Thanksgiving, which means I will be going for my annual, like, guys, during Thanksgiving, I shop for liquor, like I'm stocking a small bar for a very wealthy person, maybe even a large bar. Like I'm stocking like a restaurant grade bar for a rich person. And I only really do it once a year. And then as the year goes on, it just sort of dwindles down into weird like leftover bottles that nobody really, that weren't that popular or that you didn't want to drink a lot of. Like right now sitting on my bar is St. George raspberry liqueur. And I get that you could drink that just about any fucking time of the year and it'd be great. But that's how it kind of shakes out, is that you're left with the empty whiskey, the empty rum, and you've got some couple weird liqueurs and vermouths and like, I don't know, liquor 43, which is awesome in other stuff, but on its own, it doesn't really do much. But it's fine that I drank the last of his whiskey because I'm about to go and get him some more. So sorry, babe. Hold on. Let me just take this down. And I don't, I don't really drink in life that much anymore, but I definitely don't drink during the podcast. There was a time that it was like, you know, we wouldn't do a podcast without drinking, but it's usually not that way anymore. But drinking beside this crackling fire, I wish you guys were here. I hope that you're listening by a crackling fire because then we can kind of be in that place together. But as I sit here, I'm deep in the throes of Thanksgiving planning. And I'm sure that even if all you do is go to Boston Market and hook it up, takeaway style, you're also in some part of your mind, you're thinking about Thanksgiving too. If you live in America, I don't know. If you don't live in America, I don't know what people do all November. Maybe they have some other weird holiday they celebrate that has as strange and and complex meaning. Can't it's maybe you do, but for us in America, we're planning Thanksgiving. At least I am. And if you know anything about me, if you care about me at all, if you've listened to this podcast for the last 5 years, you know what I'm about to say, which is Thanksgiving is my magnum opus. And I know I've been hearing a lot of trash talk about Thanksgiving coming from restaurant people. And I gotta say, I didn't realize there were so many people that had so many controversial feelings about the holiday. And I don't mean about its origin, which in its own, yes, is controversial. I mean that people think they don't like it. That they're like, ah, fuck Thanksgiving. And it mortally, like, that doesn't offend me. It just, like, makes me sad because I'm like, how is it not your magnum opus? But it is my magnum opus. There's a lot of planning that goes into Thanksgiving. But as I marinate on this Thanksgiving, I think about last Thanksgiving, because last Thanksgiving I was pregnant, like so pregnant that I had Roman 24 hours after Thanksgiving. Like everybody left with their little Tupperwares and their little to-go bags of food. And I kind of like plopped down on the couch and then everyone went home. And then I had to call them back and be like, hey, could you come back and get my sweet, darling little baby boys? Because I'm going to have this baby tonight. It was Thanksgiving Day. And I didn't even, I really sat on the sidelines last year, but I watched the whole thing go down kind of from a more bird's eye view, if you will. If you will, you see how I talk and have whiskey? Will you? Will you? If you will. And I noticed that it's, in my house at least, it is a lot. It's the motherfucking Olympics. Okay. People are training. People are prepping. They're for days. And that is the fun part. Don't get me wrong. This is what I love about it. Like currently I have an order list that I need to put in. I'm ordering oysters. I'm ordering shrimp. I'm ordering caviar. I Amazoned myself some fennel pollen. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's a massive ordeal. And it's what I love about it. But what I don't love about it and what I don't love about the last 2 years that have happened is that there's a whole lot of like, oh, that's for later. Don't go in the fridge. No, don't go in the fridge. That's the shrimp cocktail is for later. Uncle Paul, no, I don't know what we're having today. It's just me like slogging towards this finish line that is the meal. And the meal is always epic. It's classic. It's over the top. There's lots of things to eat. There's everybody's favorite. There's a lot of desserts. There's a fancy table. But somehow in the last 2 years, I've gotten tired of just being like, okay, all right, I'm going to go get dressed really quick. I'm going to take a quick shower at like 1:35. When everyone's breathing down your neck, standing there staring, I feel like someone who's just gotten off work. And when I clock out and the meal's ready and everybody can sit down, I almost feel like I'm going to be sick. Like before I even eat, I feel sick. Like, oh God, like a little nauseous, but also like I have a fever. And like, I just really need to close my eyes. I remember distinctly crawling into my bed after the meal, not in like a happy tryptophan coma, and you know, taking into account that I was very pregnant, so that's just the misery level is unbelievably high for a pregnant person at that rate. But I don't know. I thought next year I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna switch it up. And I don't know about you or where you are in your cycle of things and traditions and. Maybe even it's the time in my life where I'm in my early 30s and Thanksgiving is really becoming sort of mine and my siblings. It's our role now. Like the parents have kind of stepped back. They're taken a break. They still help and direct and like, you know, give you the recipes for the classic sweet potato souffle and things of that nature. But it's definitely more of my holiday. And I'm like, you know, this just isn't how I want to live. I want to have fun. I want it to be fun. I want there to be an absurd amount of planning. I want that to be just, I mean, that's never going to go away. That's what I love about the whole thing, is the absurd amount of planning and the complexity of the overall event. But what I don't want anymore is for it to just be me, like, you know, wasting away in the kitchen while everybody stares at you and you're like telling them not to, that's not for now. Don't touch that. Don't go in the dining room. Don't go in here. I want it to be a 3-day party, a 3-day party where it's just each day you get treats. And I want the overall whole of Thanksgiving to be about these little treats leading up to the big day. And then I want the meal to be completely pared down. And so that was sort of my personal vision for this year's Thanksgiving, is why don't you have a really beautiful bird, some staples that you have to have. Like, to me, dressing is like, why would you cook a turkey if you don't have a dressing or a stuffing, depending on what region you live in? If you actually put the stuffing in the bird, please email me at fnbradio@gmail.com and tell me why. But I think if you have those mainstays, which are the non-negotiable turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, stuffing, dressing, whatever you say or do, and like a really nice vegetable side, maybe even a salad, something that you can just kind of finish. This line, the queue for the casserole queue has gotten out of control. I'm 5 hours out on even getting into the oven with these casseroles. And while I love them dearly, and I don't think you can make a proper vegetable Thanksgiving panini without the casseroles, I thought, what if we did a leftover bake on Friday when no one's doing anything? The kitchen is like a fucking ghost town on Friday, except for people like kind of dragging themselves in there to make these little leftovers. And that is its own special day. But this is sort of the thing that I mapped out for this year. All right, let me get my days straight here. Tuesday, well, Monday's a huge prep day. That's where you do all of the cutting, the trimming, the things like mirepoix that can sit in containers like perfectly labeled in your refrigerator, or in my case, my extra refrigerator, because that's how fucking extra I am. And you do those kind of things that you can do ahead. I'm not a big do ahead person because it just, I don't know why. I'm also not a leftovers person. I think there's some correlation there with me not liking stuff sitting in the fridge that's been manipulated already. Now, there is things like cleaning the vegetables that, yes, you can definitely do ahead. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, there's always these notes and recipes where it's like, do ahead. You can make this sauce and then just warm it up and mix it together. Do ahead. And I don't like to do ahead because I think there's too much margin for error. You can forget something when you're not completing the dish. You don't have the whole scheme in mind. And there's just, for me, the way my brain works, I like to start a task and complete a task in as much as possible. But Monday's a prep day for things like cutting mirepoix and things that it's fine. It won't matter. Cleaning your vegetables, setting out the dishes, labeling the dishes, what's going to go in what, getting those kind of polishing the silverware. If you're one of those twisted fucks that does polish your silverware like I am, then yes, do all that Monday. Tuesday is, wait a minute. Yes, Tuesday is traditionally kind of a sweet, you start the process of baking the sweet things, the patisserie day, if you will. Will you? See, I like this whiskey. It's got me loosening up, guys. I'm not so stressed out. I've been under a lot of stress. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think the same thing will kind of happen on Tuesday. This is where you're going to blind bake your crust. for your pies. This is where you're going to make any of those things like cake layers if you're doing cake. But in my mind, and I know at different strokes, and maybe your family really loves cakes, but I don't. Not at Thanksgiving. A cake to me is something you make for a birthday. I don't want to see a cake at a holiday party, unless it's a sticky toffee pudding, which if you're a person that does know about that, it's not a cake. Just because it has a crumb doesn't mean it's a cake. But if you were going to make cakes, you could bake the layers then. And then Wednesday, traditionally, is that you start the savory prep. The anything that you can obviously get ahead on, you have to do. You have to make those crumb toppings. You have to dry out your bread, which if you're using fresh bread, which I think we're going to try to do this year. There's been a starter that's been trying to get started for about 3 weeks and it is having some real problems. It's not working out well for the starter, but we were going to try to make our own sourdough and actually make the dressing from that. And then of course the big day, but I want to get rid of all that shit because all it is like this big, like march, this slow death march towards Thursday. And you don't get to have that much fun on. Yeah. Maybe you have some cheese plates or something out, but most people just completely neglect. If you have guests, it's really annoying. You're like, what do you want? Pizza? What do you fucking want? Please go out. Please go get something. You can't really make anything because everything, all of your energy, all of the resources, all of the people you have on hand are in this slog towards Thursday. Wow. Did you hear that? The way I said slog? Slog. It's the whiskey. When I drink whiskey, sometimes I get a little growl in my voice. Has that ever happened to you? That's better. But this year I said, enough of that. Enough of all that. This is my plan. Treats throughout the day. Oh, and I forgot to mention in my house when we do it at my parents' house, there's always a cocktail party Thursday night, which always seems like a good idea. And then it's not. And then it is. It goes through a life cycle of being like, oh, that's perfect. People really look forward to it. Then after you finish the meal and you're doing dishes for Thanksgiving Day, you're like, fuck this cocktail party. Nobody wants to come to this. I hate everybody. I don't even want to see these people. And then it ends up being they get there and it's the most fun. It's the thing I look forward to the most. It's definitely the thing that we have the most memories from, where we always talk about the silliness that occurs at the cocktail party. Who got hammered? Who got angry because they wanted to go to sleep and it was too noisy? Who said something really funny? How much they drank? What we drank? What happened when we ran out of the cocktail that we had prepared? It's just, it tends to be the most recounted stories from the holiday. So we definitely do the cocktail party Thursday night. But this year I said, what if we do a really, 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 really simple, which will still be absurdly complicated, abbreviated version of the big meal. So that Tuesday you do your bake for your pies. Wednesday, you have some sort of thing that I'm going to make this week. I'm thinking it's going to be either like a vegetable soup or a chowder of some kind. There's a really yummy chorizo and corn chowder that I make that would be amazing. And my brother-in-law is from Louisiana, so my sister always makes this really beautiful crawfish cornbread that is amazing. So that's something that you can just kind of have in a pot for people to ladle out. And the star sort of treat thing there being the crawfish cornbread, because you have to remember that people are coming with all of their different things that they want to see on the table. And this is where it gets complicated when you mesh these families together. You're like, yeah, well, that's not a food memory for me. In the South, we don't do crawfish cornbread on Thanksgiving. So it begins like, where does that fit in on the day of Thanksgiving? And then you have too much food because you're trying to represent everyone. But if you spread it out over these days, then A, the dishes get their actual, you know, reverence and spotlight that they deserve so we can do something like a crawfish cornbread on Wednesday. Or you could do what we've done in the past, an oyster roast on Wednesday. That's really, really fun. But I nixed that idea this year because my thought, and this hasn't, I'll let you know how it goes. But my thought is that what if we woke up and just started eating? Like just started eating, like went for it. And I mean, little cold things, and this is key to the success of this plan, that can sit out. Either things that are cold, chilled, room temperature, that no one has to mess with, that no one's going to be like finishing in the oven, because obviously that time is going to be very chaotic Thursday morning. But what if you had like basically a luxury brunch? And everyone's like, well, no. I want to be hungry. That's what they all say. I want to be hungry when I sit down to eat Thanksgiving. And I hear you. But if you're the cook that's cooking that, that's kind of your desire, right? You want to be hungry so that everybody can be excited to eat the stuff that you've been working on for a literal week. And you want them to just be as hungry as they can. But I think it actually works against you because people, A, are hawking you like a bunch of vultures. There's not really much for them to do if you're not getting them involved, which if you're a control freak like me, you're not really there to get them involved. I want to host a party. I don't want a bunch of people being like, can I get in the oven? No, you can't. You can't heat up your squash casserole in my oven. I didn't even approve that squash casserole. I didn't want that. I didn't ask for that. It's conflicting with another dish that I have that looks exactly like squash casserole. We can talk about that too. If you're showing up to someone's Thanksgiving, ask what you can bring. Don't show up with your thing because 9 times out of 10, and this sounds hateful, but no one's going to want that except you, and you're the guest. So you need to be along for whatever ride it is that is their Thanksgiving. Because in my mind, in my sick mind, Thanksgiving is like, you know, my opus. So I'm orchestrating it. So when you have some kind of dish coming from left field that's just now there, it feels very foreign and like, God. And as I'm saying this, I'm like, this is, my Thanksgiving's really selfish. It's really not in the spirit of giving or being thankful, but just this is how I am. I know myself. I know that anybody that cares about throwing a party has a vision for their party. And when you bring some kind of thing that doesn't fit with the vibe or that wasn't previously approved by the chef or whoever is cooking the meal, it just kind of gums up the works, so to speak. But the treats all the time got me thinking, what about the luxury brunch? It's a self-serve. So if you are a person who wants to just be starving, like an empty stomach growling when you sit down to eat the big meal, you can totally opt out. But on my list, and you guys were probably expecting this already because I'm very into shrimp cocktail, but shrimp cocktail, cocktail sauce, beautiful, perfectly poached shrimp cocktail, oysters on the half shell. Yep. Mignonette. Very, very simple. They can do it themselves. It doesn't require anything. You can slurp them down. You can crack them. You can have them sitting in a little thing of ice. It's plug and play. And it's fun and it's social. And you can put it in an area that's not in the kitchen. Deviled eggs with caviar. This is where I'm talking about. This is a treat. This is something you can be like, these impactful bites that don't require any maintenance from you. You can set them out and be like, here, have a ball, a perfect crudité. That's going to definitely be there. And then some sort of bread. I haven't really gotten there yet. I'm trying to figure out exactly what sort of bread or cracker. Maybe a gougère, but I feel like those need to be hot. So I don't know. I just don't know. And then Jeremy this year is frying a turkey. He hasn't attempted to fry a turkey since the one year that he fried the turkey to a fucking fossil. But he's going to be doing that again. So there will be kind of an outside area that my intention is to keep people out of the kitchen, give them something to do, give them something luxurious, get a Bloody Mary in their hand, and get them outside or get them in there watching the parade and make it fun. Because if you've taken this emphasis off this complex meal, which is my plan, to make it like, okay, the turkey's resting. I'm just going to finish these Brussels sprouts and mix up a salad that I've already made the dressing for. Then we've got it. Then it's there. And there are, like I said, obviously the mainstays. So you're going to have dressing, but that goes in when the turkey comes out. You rest the bird. You make a perfectly seasoned gravy. I don't know what else you need. We did vote for two sides that got to stay, and it was by a ballot. We have a separate, guys, Thanksgiving is insane in my family. We have a separate meeting, a menu meeting, where people can try to get new dishes approved because everyone is so married to the classics, and I don't care how many beautiful magazines come out with their Thanksgiving spread. Ooh, try this new fun way to do this classic. Everybody's got a twist on a classic, but in my house, and in my extended family, everybody wants to do that and then they can't because there's so much nostalgia and attachment to that specific meal that trying to remove a green bean casserole can be like trying to throw away Meemaw's piano. Like people are just like, are you serious? What? That what? Why would you do that? And even I'm guilty of it because there is a certain flavor profile of combinations that I'm like really, really, you know, I look forward to them. But that's why we're going to get to Friday where you have a casserole day where you just stir a bunch of shitty cans together and then you can have all that in your fridge so that when you want to make your turkey panini, it's there for you. But the meal being more simple and having people not be starving to me sounds like maybe for once I'll get to have a drink in my hand and walk around and wear an apron and talk to my family instead of just like basically being an air traffic controller until it's time to eat and then being like, okay, fine, let's sit down. Wasn't this worth it? This was worth it, right? So that's just me. That's my plan. That's my plan of attack. I don't know. Maybe you have that Thanksgiving every year and you're like a genius who has found a way to like make it fun, have it have something for everyone. But I've been going to a lot of gatherings, not a lot, but I've been going to people's houses and going to, when you're in your 30s, you go to a lot of house parties and like dinner parties and things like that, that I'm noticing are well-intended, but end up being so controlled and so like they have these brilliant ideas, but they're not well-executed. And when you control how people are supposed to like act and react to what you're putting in front of them, or if you are holding on tight to this idea of what it should be, you're immediately set up for failure. You're never going to please everyone because everyone's coming with their own idea of what should be fun. The only way to successfully throw a really bang up gathering is to create spaces where people can have fun in the way that they want to. Because some people are there to get hammered and those people aren't nice. And those people usually cause a problem. But if you are there to get hammered, by God, there should be an open bar for you. And if you're there to play with the kids and you're there to like throw a football and put on a like a toboggan and go outside, there should be a space for you to do that where it's not like someone has planned every second of the day so that you're expected to basically just, you know, jump through these hoops. Because I feel like that's when you get that resistance that causes the classic family like rifts where people are like, I just feel like you're really not into charades and that's what we wanted to do. And we're here to play charades and it's charades time now, Sarah. And if Sarah's not into playing charades, then you've made her feel bad and you've gotten upset because someone isn't participating in this thing that you had planned. But if you create these beautiful spaces all throughout the house for people to have whatever time it is that they need to have, then they will truly be thankful. And that's my goal this year. I'm like, I'm going to let go Because I, as I'm saying this, I'm like, I'm as guilty of this as anyone. In fact, I'm maybe the most guilty. You've heard what a psycho I am. I don't even want you bringing, I don't even want you bringing any unauthorized dishes, okay? And so I'm mostly trying to find a way to curb my own psychosis, the whiskey, and allow people to have fun, because I really did. We went to a thing and I got back and I was just like, damn, dude, parties in your 30s, what a drag. Because people are, as they get older, they get more weird. That's a fact. You get weirder as you get older. You get more particular. You get stranger or more strange. You get all of the idiosyncrasies that you used to kind of hide and be like, no, I'm cool. I like everything. Those start to fall away and people get more opinionated and they get less, I don't know, just fun in general. They're not as willing to try new things, even in your 30s. I know everyone's talking about 30s, the new 20. I don't think so. I've noticed that all of a sudden people are 30 and it's like, oh my God, this party really died. People, they're not as easy to talk to a stranger. That's the other thing. For God's sake, invite someone that you barely know to your Thanksgiving. Invite some friends. Break up the family situation. There's definitely somebody out there that doesn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving or doesn't have anywhere that they want to go for Thanksgiving. And be conscious of that. I don't know why, but it popped into my head to invite a friend that I haven't talked to in a really long time to Thanksgiving. And it was like, I don't even know if she can make it, but just the idea, like she popped into my head and I was like, man, that would be so amazing if I saw her at Thanksgiving, if she like came and hung out. And she was super, super excited that I even invited her. Even if she doesn't get to make it, it's like, I don't know. Expand your horizon and explore different possibilities for what this holiday could look like to you. Because I think the rise of the Friendsgiving is a very cool thing, but I think it happens because people have stopped opening up their circle. And that's what I mean when I say the party really died with people in their 30s. Not that they don't get drunk or whatever, like they still do. People party in their 30s. But I mean, the openness to like just talk to someone you don't know at a party, it's like it's reverting back to high school. It's like you're there and it's very like, it's very awkward. It's no longer like this raucous, fun, inviting, friendly event. And it also, this is another theory, and this might be just me being, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but it's social media isolating people. I've noticed in the last 2 years, the more adult gatherings that I go to, people can't talk to each other. And it's a serious problem. And I know I'm not like shattering any notions that someone hasn't already thought of. Like people are definitely hip to this jive, but I'm seeing the effects in real time. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, we're on our phone all the time. That's just the way it is now. And people say that and they know that, but I don't think they're truly looking at what it's doing to people's social skills in real time. They're deteriorating so rapidly that I went to a gathering with a bunch of 30-somethings and they were like mid to late 30s. So they're a little bit older than me, but not old enough to make that the thing that was different. It was very much like people just wallflowers, all of them. And I know that a lot of the people there were friendly and were outgoing and quote unquote, you know, loquacious people, but they just immediately, like in a real social setting where you actually have to look at a human and say something to them, it gets weird. It's getting weird. So I think if anything we can be thankful for is that you can actually see a person in real life. Maybe you should look into their eyes and talk to them, because that is the thing that seems to be the hardest for people. And it just makes for a better time when people are able to mix and mingle and have fun. It's a holiday. You shouldn't have to like walk into a room where you don't know someone or you're not the family member there, or you should you should always be able to find someone to talk to or someone that you can jump in and get involved with something that's going on in any part of the party. Maybe you're the type of person that likes to get your coffee and sit there and watch the parade. I'm raising my own hand. But maybe that's what you like to do. Maybe you like to put the game on and crush shrimp cocktail. Maybe you like to like get in there and start helping with the kitchen stuff. Maybe you're the errand runner that goes out to get ice. Whatever the thing is that you do, though, if you're a good host, you've made a space for everyone to do those things because that will open up the communication. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Otherwise, why are you seeing these people? You know, like everybody complains that they like, oh, I hate my family. I don't want to talk to them. They're like, they bother me. They bug me. They're politics. They're blah, blah, blah. That shit is this. I'm so tired of that whole song and dance. Yes, people are different than you. Thank God. And if you're not a big enough person to go into a room and still enjoy yourself and actually connect with a person, then maybe you need to try. And if you need to have a little whiskey to do it, then I highly recommend it because, as I said, I'm a wintertime drinker. And I want to be able to have a cocktail and enjoy the holiday and not just faint, fall onto my fainting couch after I, you know, clear the last plate. It's meant to be fun. So that's my strategy. I don't know. Maybe think about your strategy. We've still got time. As you know, I'm like planning way too early. I tried to have the menu meeting for Thanksgiving on October 20th. And my sister was like, okay, it's a little early. We haven't even trick or treated, but I just like to plan. I do have things to order. Okay. And if you need to make tweaks to your Thanksgiving, if you're listening and you're like, what do I do that maybe makes people feel restricted? Think about that, because I had to think about that about myself. It's very clear to me. Like, I mean, I know that you can't ever really see yourself, but I feel like I'm pretty aware of the things that I do. And I in the past, I'll admit it, I'm restrictive. I like say that I want people to have a good time, but I really just want them to have my good time. And I think that's a common thing. So just don't hold on. Just like if you're gripping tight with your hand, just like release like your ring and your pinky finger and let people have the time that they want to have. And talk to them. Get on their level. See what they're talking about, even if it's crazy. What I've noticed about, and this is not even about like people can't even say nothing anymore. I'm not on that side of the fence. I'm very happy that we're all getting better about not just popping off with willy-nilly things that are disrespectful to entire groups of people. But what I do miss is that people just kind of all say the same thing now. And it's all like sort of just bland, offensive, non-reactive. Like everybody's just like in this place where they're just saying like, damn, I'd love to hear somebody go on a weird conspiracy theory about aliens. I'd love to get weird with someone. I'd love for someone to do some shit that's off the wall. Like that's what you get when you talk to people who you think in your mind annoy me. Like there's a bunch of my family members that come to mind that I'm just like, they drive me fucking crazy. But the older I get, the more interested I am in anyone who's unique, because I listen to a lot of conversations and I just think like we're all kind of saying the same shit. And some of us aren't even trying to say it in a different way. So while I'll never get behind someone being ugly or hateful or you know, if someone is being offensive, yes, you speak up and you said, dude, that's not cool. I don't want to hear that kind of shit. But if it's just that they're just kind of weird or they've got a strange point of view on something that is, listen, check it out. See what they're talking about. See, and I don't know. You'll be surprised. It definitely makes for more fun. Do you hear the puppies crying? Can you guys hear that? Oh, hang on. I got to let him out. Pause. Hold on. Okay, I let him out. All I'm saying is be open to the ideas and thoughts and idiosyncrasies and weird things that people have that don't look or think like you. Talk to them. Try to figure out why they're so weird or why they're so cool or why they're so, you know, unusual. Because that's, you'll have a much better time. I get in these conversations where I'm like, yeah, me too. Totally get it. Yeah, me, same. If I'm just saying same all the time, then I need to talk to some different people. Like, I feel like I don't know. I'm driving myself insane by just being around people who always say the same shit over and over again. Speaking of saying something different, are you ready for this? You ready for this shameless self-promoting plug? I am in a comedy show that I'm super excited about. It's the brainchild of Mari Sorza. It's called Excess Boxes. It's this Sunday, which is tomorrow if you're listening today when the show came out. It's Sunday, November 17th, which is tomorrow, at the Tin Roof in Charleston, and it's at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $10, which is a steal, a deal, and a downright bargain. And there's a ton of giveaways. I've been trying not to tell people what the giveaways are because they're so nice that I want to like use it as an enticing thing, but you'll just have to figure it out by coming to see the show. The gifts are really, really, really nice. It's a sketch comedy show. We all kind of like got together and wrote different bits that are just going to be in the show. The giveaways, there's a dance number. I've literally been practicing choreography. It's going to be very, very silly and very, very fun. And it's something that I don't like to wait until the new year to make my sort of quote unquote resolutions. But one of the things that I wanted to do this year was just spend more time doing things that are creative and fun and funny that make me happy. And performing comedy is one of those things. So I am definitely just so honored to be even involved in this show. There's a bunch of amazing comedians in this show. Camille Lohman is in the show. Lily Stanton is in the show. Meredith Kidd is in the show. Just the list goes on and on. It's going to be a really, really, really fun time. And for $10, you could win something very, 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 very fancy. So what do you have to lose? On a Sunday? Remember, I'm a wintertime drinker, so I might even just have a little drink with you if you come out. Be there. Tickets are sold at the door and they're $10. And I want to see you. And I want to hear about your Thanksgiving plans. And I want to talk to you about your weird shit and whatever you're doing, because it is my favorite time of the year. And as much as I sounded like none of Thanksgiving is fun, it's my favorite time to be alive. There's a fire in my fireplace. That's not a euphemism. It sounded kind of weird when I said it. There's a whiskey in my hand. And I'm just sitting here dreaming of oysters on the half shell, dancing in my head. I hope you're having a wonderful time. I hope you have an amazing holiday planned. Even if your holiday is like you sitting at home eating box mac and cheese, if that's what you want to do, then that's the best Thanksgiving ever. And if you don't want to do that and you don't have anywhere to go, you call me. You can come to my Thanksgiving. It's going to be weird. We're going to try some things. Some classics are going to get nixed. And I think it's going to be better for all. And I'll see you next week. Or hopefully the show. Come to the show tomorrow. Okay? Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. I love you. Bye. Je laisserai un mot sur le frigo. On déciderait de se faire la malle. Ta famille, les amis, le bureau.